Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week, our writer Jimmy Israel with us from Cleveland. Mario Loyola is chief counsel for the Texas Public Policy Foundation and a columnist for the National Review magazine in Austin. Fernando Vila is director of production and development at Fusion. That's the collaboration between Univision and ABC. He's in Miami. And here in Washington, D.C. is Tell Me More editor Ahmad Omar. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Doing all right. How's it going?
It's going, bro. It's going. All right, well, let's get it started. You know, all eyes are on the president today because he's trying to put all the noise about NSA surveillance to rest. But the thing he wanted to talk about this week was his latest plan to create jobs. Michelle?
That's right. He's been talking about boosting manufacturing with what he calls innovation hubs, and the idea is to bring together universities, government, and businesses to help private companies create new products, hire more workers. And here's a short clip of him speaking at North Carolina State University.
Today I'm here to act, to help make Raleigh-Durham and America a magnet for the good high-tech manufacturing jobs that a growing middle class requires and that is going to continue to keep this country on the cutting edge.
Now, he says he's asked Congress for legislation to help the plan along, but he's willing to move ahead on his own, Jimmy.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. Fernando, yep. What do you think the president should be doing to create jobs?
Well, these initiatives like these are nice, but they're not sort of going to create the amount of jobs that are needed to bring down the unemployment crisis that we still have in this country. To me, it's pretty obvious that the number one thing affecting the economy is a lack of demand that can be stimulated through inflationary monetary policy or deficit spending or something like that. There does seem to be a little bit of a trend of manufacturing jobs coming back to the United States after about a decade of jobs leaving, and I think the biggest reason for that is just the competitiveness gap between the United States and China has dropped significantly in the past 10 years. The initiatives like this are nice, but they're sort of small bore.
Big bore tends to be like the government building things, right? Mm-hmm. Like the big bore tends to be build a bridge, put people to work, build a highway, put people to work. You know, back in the day, a railroad, or you could do that too. I mean, we sure. Still don't really have a lot of high speed. What about that? I mean, is there any appetite for that?
Well, yeah, that would. I mean, those are certainly jobs, right? It just seems politically untenable at the moment. It seems impossible to get that through something like that through Congress. So, yeah, it's a tough one.
It is a tough one. Mario, you say if Obama wants to create jobs, he should leave the private sector alone. But isn't his job to do more than that?
No, I think that
break it down. No. Government just, doesn't, just go
look,
right there.
Government doesn't create wealth. That's why government can't create jobs. I mean, it can through deficit spending, it can like borrow a job from the future or it can move jobs from one place to another. But government doesn't create wealth, and it's not the president's job to create wealth. I mean, if the president wants to create jobs, the number one thing that he could do is just get out of the way of the private economy, mm-hmm. right? I mean, American businesses already have to operate under the world's highest corporate tax burden and by far the most insane regulatory burden in the world. And I mean, if I had one question I could
He's
ask,
never
him,
been
I'm
to
like
France.
Dying to ask the president this question.
You've never
Mr.
been to
president,
France.
What is, it's like 60,000, 70,000, 80,000 new pages of regulations every year. What's our goal? I mean, will the president be happy with when we get to like a billion pages of regulations?
Corporate profits are at an all-time high. American companies' corporate profits are at an all-time high.
Either way,
last year.
This is Ahmad. There's the old saying that if you ask one question to two economists, you get three or four different answers depending on their mood that day. But in economic circles, there are kind of two big schools of thought. So there's the free market capitalism, which it sounds like Mario is a proponent of, and then there's the Keynesian model, which it sounds like Fernando kind of supports. Those people would say government spending can absolutely prop up the economy. The free market people would say that's just going to lead to problems down the road. We're going to have greater inflation and more debt that we're going to have to pay off down the road. So, this debate that we're just having in this shop is something that policymakers are having the same exact debate. And like Fernando said, you need a consensus to get something through Congress and signed by the president. There's not going to be a consensus on that at this moment. I think the one thing that people can agree on is that the money we do spend, we should maybe try to figure out a way to make that more efficient and make it go a little bit further. It sounds like that's what the president's doing. Is it going to work? I mean, of course, if we could predict these things, we wouldn't have the problems we have around the world. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see. But I don't think anyone's saying that this is the way to do it. I think a lot of people would say that, you know, he needs to do much bigger things like building bridges and trains. A lot of left-leaning economists would say that. But, of course, there's no political appetite for that.
I don't know if you can be left. Well, anyway, well, Jimmy, what do you think?
In an economic sense, Keynesian, if you will.
Keynesian, sure. Now he's going to start talking about obscure, like, French films, too. Oh, my God.
Keynesian. No, excuse me.
That's what Jimmy's for. That's what Jimmy's here to do.
We were just talking about Keynesian politics, Keynesian economics in my bar the other day.
We sure were.
I mean, they went there. I didn't make this topic up.
So, you know what?
Okay.
What I think is, to the extent I like my president, I like him best when he's focused. You know, I it's one crusade at a time. You know, he's trying to kind of wrangle Ed Snowden, and now he's trying to do this. You know, when he's focused, like with the Affordable Care Act, you know, he pushes it through. It goes through. So I want him to get on this crusade to make jobs. I don't know how he's going to do it.
Congress.
Yeah, but he was the guy. He was the same guy in running for president that he said, look, you need to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time, right?
Well, but he can't. He was that guy. So that experiment is done. You know, so he cannot. I mean, he can try to maybe, while he's trying to take down Ed Snowden, maybe he can hire a few people to, you know, mow the White House lawn. I don't know how that can go wrong. But I'm just saying, you know, if he just needs to make some jobs in the meantime, there you go. But I want him to focus on one thing at a time. That's just my thing. I don't know.
All right. So let's go on. If we're having our weekly visit to the barbershop with writer Jimmy Israel, columnist Mario Loyola, journalist Fernando Vila, and Tell Me More editor Ahmad Omar. Back to you, Jimmy.
So thank you, Michelle. Fellas, the country is celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday, and he's been the face of the civil rights movement for 50 years now. Has it been 50? Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if he's still the icon we need today. Personally,
let's hear who would you rather have?
I don't know. I mean, almost anybody. I mean, I'm okay with observing the birthday. Hold on, let me qualify that. I'm okay with observing the birthday, but there has to be something beyond the dream. I mean, black people have to wake up. You know, convincing people to continue chasing a dream is akin, in my mind, to a kind of mass hypnosis, because dreams don't happen. Dreams are unattainable. Dr. King didn't have the last great black idea, you know, and I take umbrage to the idea that there's something noble and dignified about silently abiding the barbs of your oppressor. You know, we have to outgrow that model for black dignity and nobility. You know, that's just lame in my mind. I can't deal with it. And
go ahead, Fernando.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I think Dr. King was pretty vocal in his opposition. I don't know that he was silently sort of just taking it. I mean, I don't know. I think that Martin Luther King is one of the, you know, maybe three or four people that have had the most profound effect on American history. You know, one of the people that, you know, really does change the course of history. And to me, the most lasting message that he had, at least through his actions, was the reminding us that in a democracy, the people kind of still are supposed to govern themselves and are supposed to stand up to what they perceive as injustice. And I think sometimes that gets lost, regardless of whether you're black, white, Asian, Latino, these days.
Okay. What does Mario think?
I think Martin Luther King is a sort of permanent icon. I mean, and not just a civil rights icon. He's almost like, you know, almost a constitutional icon, right? I mean, he'll always represent the idea that racism and discrimination are things to be abhorred, and that every individual is a dignified and valid person. And I think as long as we believe that, Martin Luther King is going to be an icon of that belief. But at the same time, you know, he lived and died in a completely different era than our own, and now we have problems that we didn't have them. And so, you know, for example, the anti-poverty programs of the Great Society, which were put in place to try to realize his dream, have had a lot of unintended consequences, and some of them are very serious. And so I think that what I'm looking for is the new icons, the new generation of leaders that are going to really honestly look at these problems and come up with solutions that we can all agree on as a society, the way that we agreed on the things that Martin Luther King stood for.
Ahmad?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a you know, you got to have one or the other, first of all. I mean, I don't think you got to throw out Martin Luther King Jr. in order to honor other people. And, you know, I'll give Jimmy credit for going there because who wants
Sorry.
To, you know.
Who goes there? Yeah.
This is like the one guy in the world. It's like, oh, I'm not so sure about Martin Luther King. But regardless, yeah. I mean, what he stands for today to me is, you know, nonviolent protest and then ultimately triumphing. You know, the world is a different place now than it was back then. And so, I mean, yeah, I have no problems with the doctor.
Besides, was the argument, any, the argument was not to silently absorb the barbs. The idea was to not commit mass suicide in the quest of a better life. I mean,
or
that was
kill all
his
the cops or
yeah,
whatever,
yeah. The
know?
Argument was okay, that there well, is no other choice, and that his choice required a far more emotional discipline, you know, and intellectual rigor than a lot of the other choices that people have. And I also think that there's something fundamentally true about his argument, which is that forgiveness is your only choice. Forgiveness
sure.
is your only path to wholeness. And so
sure.
it's funny to me that, you know, like a generation later, we're you know, talking about Nelson Mandela for the same thing, but who showed that path? For us.
But also, I also resent the way his image has been commodified. I mean, everybody from Starbucks to Burger King to, you know, Schlitz Malt Liquor have used his image to sell products. And it's just, I'm over it. I'm over it.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. I want to see Jimmy on coffee mugs.
I know,
yo,
right?
My God.
I'm checking your keychain the next time I see you. There better not be a Martin Luther King image on that keychain. There better
I
not be.
I promise you.
All right. Well, so switching gears now. Moving on to some football, you know, sorry, tough
right.
segue. I can't think of any other
Whoa.
Way to do it. But
Love
it's
it.
Down to the Final Four this weekend. So we're figuring out who's going to the Super Bowl. Ahmad, who you like?
I mean, who do I like? It was the 49ers. That's my squad. That's who I love. So I'm hoping they win. It's going to be tough because they're playing at Seattle. And this is the matchup that everyone's been waiting for, at least 49ers fans, because, you know, Seattle's been the best team all year. They've only lost once at home in the last 2 years. And they have a crazy home field advantage. It's the loudest place in the country, even in the world. The stadium. I was looking at online. They've got some online bookmakers and they've got over under on how loud it's going to get. You know, is it going to be louder than a jumbo jet or not? So
wow.
that's what they're talking about. And last time the 49ers went up there, they had a tough time and got blown out. So I'm hoping for a better result. I'm hoping for the 49ers. And I went to Michigan too. So I'm going for Brady Harbaugh, the double Michigan quarterback Super Bowl. That's where I'm at.
I'm sorry. Could I get somebody to change the locks on his office, please? And kind of get
that. What do you mean?
Sorry.
Champions right there. It's going to be a good
Mario,
weekend.
What about you? I understand
yeah,
that you're kind
just,
of coming from a place of hate, right? It's like it's not
yeah,
like
oh,
it's not who
yeah,
you love,
oh,
it's who you
oh
hate.
My,
so where are you
oh
going
my,
on that?
He's
going
to hate. I mean, I speak for all Packers fans when I say
Sorry,
that I
guys.
Hope the loathsome San Francisco 49ers will be utterly humiliated and defeated.
That's what happens when you get
next
week.
And I think I mean I actually think that the rest of the season, I mean, the Packers won the NFC North with basically the whole team on injured reserve, so I'm proud of my team and I think that our consolation is going to be that the rest of these great games that we have in front of us are going to go just the way the Packers fans would want, which is that San Francisco is going to lose, and then New England will defeat the Broncos in a valiant battle to be decided in the final seconds, and then Bill Belichick will display his Napoleonic genius to defeat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. Mark my words.
Right. Okay. We will. Fernando, what about you?
Well, I'm a Dolphins fan, so I have extreme hatred toward the Patriots, Tom Brady, and the cheater, Bill Belichick, so I'm taking the Broncos in that game. And then in the other game, I think that, I mean, I was disappointed in Russell Wilson's performance last week. I thought he was pretty poor against the Saints, even though they won. And I really don't like the Seahawks uniforms, so I'm taking the Niners.
Well, there you go.
Think,
welcome
that's
aboard.
My analysis. Yeah,
welcome onto the bandwagon, sir.
Incredible analysis. So, yeah.
All right, Jimmy, do you even care? I mean, I'm almost even afraid to ask.
You know,
like, I
live in Cleveland, and it's hard to be a sports fan in Cleveland. So, therefore, I choose to ignore the fact that there may even be sports in America, and I'm not even familiar with the Super Bowl you speak of. I choose to play my Xbox 360.
It's this thing that happens on Twitter.
Yes, he's
no,
a conscientious
Jimmy,
objector.
Your,
so
that's right. That's
yeah,
exactly
Jimmy, turn
right.
on your TV. Turn on your TV this weekend, Jimmy, because this is the greatest sport in the history of the world, and it always will be.
Yeah, I agree.
He's like,
we
what
can
TV?
Agree on that.
What TV?
More.
So old school. So old technology. What's that? All right. So Jimmy, maybe this will tempt you back into the waters. Oscars. Oscar nominations.
Sure.
American Hustle. Gravity. 12 Years a Slave. They all scored the others. Other popular movies that didn't make the cut. So I need to, you know. Okay, Ahmad, you want to start? What?
I mean, I'm not a film critic, as you know, but my thing is, you know, the Academy, why does it always got to be so serious? You know, it's always got to be like The English Patient or, you know, something like that. And it's like, when is there ever going to be just a standard comedy that people like that's good? At least nominate one. Throw them a bone. They've got like 10 things up right now.
Like,
you know?
like this like, one, for
no,
example.
I mean, I'm saying you got Old School, should have been Best Picture. And now, you know, I haven't seen Anchorman 3, but at least nominate it. Come on.
I mean, American Hustle was a funny movie.
Okay.
It was a really funny movie.
Okay. So what about you, Jimmy? What do you like?
Actually, I do like 12 Years a Slave. It was a really commanding performance. I'm sad that, you know, it takes these kinds of performances of black oppression to resonate with the Academy. However, it was a stunning film to watch, to look at. It is a film that everybody should see. Black people should not see it the day before they have to go to work, because that guy that's giving them the soul handshake, that one white guy in management that gives you the whole soul handshake, he will not be as funny after you've seen 12 Years a Slave. That will not be anywhere near as ironic. Anyway, but yeah, I'm down with Steve McQueen and John Ridley.
Mario, what do you like? Who do you like?
I really liked American Hustle. I mean, I think that 12 Years a Slave will probably get Best Picture just because it's such an important and impactful picture. But, I mean, I thought that American Hustle had such exquisite attention to the details of this other time, you know, and it's the 70s, which were just such an incredibly weird time. And, and you know, and I love also that the movie has, like, no admirable characters in it. Basically, everyone's, like, a loser to some degree or other.
Talented. And you're attracted to that, okay.
Well, yeah, it's like the novels. I mean, that's I mean, I know that you want me to mention French literature. I mean, this is what the novels of Flaubert are all about, right?
And that's what I call
it. That's what Jackie Brown is all about. It's like these completely, you know, unredeemable characters. And it's just, and what I want to know, though, however, is what is Christian Bale going to do with that beer belly now? Is he going to be sporting that for the next Batman movie?
I don't even want to think about it. Oh, no. Fernando, what about you?
Yeah, I was sad that Inside Llewyn Davis didn't get any nominations. You know, my boy Oscar Isaac is from Miami, and he didn't get an acting nomination, even though he was awesome in it. I do think it'll probably be 12 Years a Slave, although I really, really, really enjoyed The Wolf of Wall Street. I thought it was like a, you know, just kind of like a nonstop orgasm for 3.5 hours. It was amazing.
Hey, now.
Okay.
Well. So that's what you get to on the weekends.
Exactly. So see if ticket receipts fly up.
That's my cinema analysis.
Okay. All right. Fernando Viles, Director of Production and Development at Fusion, joined us from their studios in Miami. Mario Loyola, Chief Counsel for the Texas Public Policy Foundation and a columnist for National Review Magazine, with us from KUT in Austin. Jimmy Israel is an adjunct professor of film and social media at Cuyahoga Community College. You can find his blog at jimmyisrael.com. He was with us from WCPN in Cleveland. And here with me in Washington, D.C. was Tell Me More editor Ahmad Omar. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Suavecito por ahí, mi gente.
Later, guys.
Yep.
And remember, if you can't get enough Barbershop Buzz on the radio, look for our Barbershop podcast. That's in the iTunes store or at npr.org. That's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more on Monday.